we'd like to welcome you to the very first Salisbury Christian Church Sermon Podcast. The sermon you are about to listen to was delivered on January 1st, 2012. This week, we take a look at Acts 2 and how it can be a resolution for the church. Please be sure to check out our website at salisburychristianchurch.org for the latest news and events at Salisbury Christian Church. Just for reference, we're going to be looking at Acts 2:42 today. Just you can get your Bibles open there. But as I stated before, and Dickie and I kind of talked about this in Sunday school this morning, during New Year's, we often have resolutions. And our resolutions oftentimes fail within the first week, and sometimes for me, within the first day. I would just like for some of you to tell me what your New Year's resolutions might be. Anybody at all? Does anybody have a new... Pam? To exercise more. How many of you have that on your list? How many of you have lose weight on your list? How many of you have had that on your list for the past 10 years? Any other resolutions? Yeah.
Just to live a healthier lifestyle.
Live a healthier lifestyle, all right? Kind of like eating better things, not so many, in my case, sweets. And mine is kind of to try to lay off coffee a little bit. Unfortunately, I got a one-cup coffee maker for Christmas. So that's going to be a little bit of a temptation there. We have all sorts of resolutions, and they're meant to refocus on what we really want to focus on. They help us to redefine our priorities. For some of us, for health reasons. For others, just to get us back into the swing of things during the first of the new year. Sometimes it's kind of to make up for the shortcomings of the year before. That's why I asked how many of you have had lose weight on your resolution list for the past 10 years, because it seems like we start out on January 1st with these resolutions, and maybe even sometime during the year where we say, all right, that's enough. Tomorrow I am going to start this, that, and the other. And then more often than not, we tend to fail on those resolutions. Resolutions also give us kind of a sense of order. We take a look at 2011, and we say, wow, that year was kind of wild. You know, there was a lot of stuff that happened that was out of my control. And January 1st, 2012 gives us a point to say, all right, I have everything in control for this year, right? But we know that sooner or later, things will fall out of control for us. But that's just the way life goes. And it makes it interesting. If you knew what was going to happen all year in 2012, it'd probably be a pretty boring year. At least you could prepare for things, but that takes a little bit of the excitement out of life. Our resolutions fail because we are creatures of habit. We are, the resolutions require more effort than sometimes we really want to give. But the biggest thing, I think, is that our resolutions fail because they were unrealistic in the first place. You know, my resolution of losing weight, you know, my target goal is to lose about 65 to 70 pounds. And I want that done tomorrow. Obviously, that's an unrealistic goal. In Acts, the early church provides us with our own list for the church, a resolution list, things that aren't unrealistic, things that for us may be impossible, but with God are not. They do require effort. just as much as any of our resolutions that we shared this morning would require effort. Like I said, these aren't unrealistic goals, and these things really help us to refocus on what the church is about. In Acts 2:42, we'll just read it first off here. It says, this is right after the blessing of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now we can see in that very first verse that there is a little bit of a list there of things that the apostles and believers did in the early church. The first thing on the list is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now a little word about the word devoted. The word devoted there is from the Greek word proskutero. Now this word can be translated hold fast or cling to. So literally it says they clinged to the apostles' teaching. Now, I don't know how many of us cling to our resolutions every year, but it's clear here that these folks clinged to these things, made it a point to commit themselves to doing these things. As we said, the first thing on the list is the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? Obviously, we know that here Paul hasn't shown up on the scenes. So they didn't have the epistles to read to get a sense of what they were supposed to be doing. Really, the apostles' teaching back then was just the straight core of the gospel, teaching what Jesus taught. Basically, they were giving witness to what they had seen personally. And in the episode right before this, they're choosing a new disciple to replace Judas after he has committed suicide. And what they want an apostle who has seen firsthand what Jesus had done. And so they choose Matthias to replace him. And Matthias was with the apostles. He wasn't one of the 12 that Jesus concerned himself with, but he saw the things that were going on with Jesus firsthand. So these guys were sharing with each other exactly what they saw. They were sharing with new believers every single day what they saw Jesus do and what Jesus taught. Like I said, it is the core of the gospel that they share. They had the Hebrew scriptures. They may have had some written accounts of Jesus' life, but they didn't need the written accounts because they knew what those accounts were. They devoted themselves to learning about Jesus and teaching everyone else about Jesus. That's what they devoted themselves to. Here at Salisbury, we can kind of take that and apply it to what we're doing here at Salisbury. We teach. Bob taught this morning the lesson about the book of Matthew. We learn about the gospel. We learn about God's word. And we just don't keep it to ourselves, but we share it. And we devote ourselves to doing those things, just as the apostles did way back when. The second thing on our list here that we can resolve to keep, just as the apostles did, is that they devoted themselves to the fellowship and meeting with one another. That's what we're doing right now. We are meeting with each other to praise God, just as the apostles did so many years ago. They gathered with each other, not in a building like this. They would gather in their homes. It says here in our scripture that they gathered in the temple courts. If you notice, it says that they broke bread in their houses. They probably didn't want to do their ritual in the temple courts right in front of the Jewish leaders. It may have caused a little bit of problem. But here it says that they met in the temple courts in their own houses, and they met every single day. Now, that's probably not a prescription for us to follow, that we meet every single day. I mean, we could if you really wanted to. You know, we do gripe a little bit about getting up on Sunday mornings and coming to church and things like that. But these guys and gals did it every single day. I think God required them to meet every day just because he wanted the church to survive. If they would have met, if they would have just chose one day out of the week to meet, they probably wouldn't have survived, because they needed constant learning, constant worship of God to finally understand what their faith was about. The next thing on our list, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, to communion. Here in this scripture, we get breaking of bread and meal. See, those were two different things, and they were common things back then when they would meet in the houses of the apostles. They would have a common meal together. They would fix supper for each other and share a meal and things like that. And we all know that from our lively dinners back here in the fellowship hall, that eating together can be one of the greatest times of fellowship. I don't know how to describe it. I don't think a lot of people can describe it, that when you get together with people and you eat, there's just some type of fellowship there that you can't get anywhere else. Obviously from our number board, you know, we get 86 people when we have dinners too. But I think it is a point here that they're trying to make, that they not only shared a common meal together, but they took communion every time they met. And remember from the last thing on the list that they met every single day. So they were taking the Lord's Supper every day when they met. The Lord's Supper was the integral part, the focus part of their worship. They saw that Christ sacrificed himself and instituted the Lord's Supper. And so therefore, they were going to do that thing over and over and over again, to recommit themselves, to devote themselves to Christ. You can see in verse 46, what does it say? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Here, Luke wants us to know that these folks didn't just get together to eat just to eat. They got together to eat to encourage one another and share in the Lord's Supper with glad and sincere hearts. We take communion every single Sunday, and we have a meditation. That's how we follow what the apostles do here in the Scripture. And often with our meditations, we attach not just taking communion. Yes, communion is an important act, but we also look into ourselves, examine ourselves. That's a common theme. And here, this is kind of you get that kind of feeling that you need to do it with a sincere heart. The last thing on the list, I have just been learning about the way the apostles prayed, and the disciples prayed, and the early Christians prayed. They did devote themselves to prayer, and devote is probably a weak word. They didn't just say their prayers at bedtime. They didn't say their prayers when they got up. They were continually praying. It's like they're walking around, and they've always got prayer on their mind. Now, obviously, we're not there. We can't make sure that that's true, but I can imagine that these apostles, and even Paul later on, knew the importance of prayer for the survival of the church. They were always praying together for their own group, for other Christian groups, for the church as a whole. But there's one thing that Paul brings up, and Luke brings up, and Peter brings up, that they always prayed for guidance. You know, they may have had business meetings like we do here, but most of the time the answers that they got for the direction of the church was through prayer. And when we do our resolutions, you know, we may say, I'm going to eat healthier. You know, we may be already eating healthy foods, but we resolve to eat more healthy foods. And here, you know, we pray as a group. But there, we can always pray more. You can never pray too much. And here the apostles say that they devote themselves to prayer. In Colossians 4:2, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It is with the sincere heart that you take the communion, you also pray and be thankful. Paul is always, especially like in Colossians, is encouraging the church to pray for guidance, to have us understand what God wants from our church. Sometimes it takes a lot of prayer to understand what God wants. It's not so much that we want God to show us His will, but help us to understand His will, because it may be clear as day for us, but we may not like it. But we need to understand it, what His will is for our church here in Salisbury. I want you to look at the last part of our text, though. It says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, a lot of new preachers, a lot of young preachers go into churches, and especially smaller churches, and resolve to increase the church's numbers or double the size of the church within 1 year. And sure, that may be a good goal, but sometimes that's maybe a little bit unrealistic. But here in this text, it says that if we hold fast, if we cling to those things, God will provide the growth. Now, I'm not talking about numbers necessarily. I'm talking about spiritual growth and maturity. You know, up in seminary, a lot of times it's focused on results. We're always looking at results. We want to see results. We want to see results. And, you know, they want us to track how our church attendance is doing and all sorts of stuff, just to kind of, you know, get a tangible result of how you're doing. And physical numbers may not be a good representation of how healthy our church is. What does show how healthy our church is if we are doing the things that are in this list. Devoting ourselves to the gospel, devoting ourselves to the fellowship and meeting with each other, devoting ourselves to communion, breaking bread, and devoting ourselves to prayer. That's the sign of a healthy church. You could have 10,000 people and they not do one thing on this list, and that's an unhealthy church. You can have a church of 25 people and they're doing everything on this list, and that's a healthy church. But God promises us here that if we do these things, we will see growth. Maybe not in numbers, but definitely in our spiritual maturity. I hope that these things on this list that we have today hold up better than the resolutions we make at the first of the year. Like I said, we are doing all of these things, but we can always do more. And I guess that's the excited spirit of the first of the year. We're excited to get going and do things. And here in our scripture, it shows us what we can be devoted to here in our church. I hope that our list here, that we can resolve to cling, to hold fast, and devote ourselves to our Savior, Jesus Christ.